Thank the Lord this morning for the peace of God, and I'm thankful that the truth of that song, that the only real peace that we're going to find is going to be found in Jesus Christ. I know the world offers a lot of things that glitter, and the world offers a lot of promises, but those promises are empty because at the end of them, it doesn't bring real satisfaction and real peace. I am thankful for the opportunity this morning to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal way. And I can wholeheartedly recommend the Lord to you today. I recommend Him to you children and you young people and to all of us when you're searching for answers in life. You're searching for what life means, the beginning and the end. Is in Christ. I'd like to begin this morning by the help of the Lord with Revelation, the 22nd chapter. And we'll begin with verse 6, is where we left off in our study in Revelation. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We find that we are at the conclusion of the book of Revelation. And the message that is repeated over and over and over in this 22nd chapter is the message that I come quickly. That Jesus Christ is going to come quickly. The language of symbols here is discontinued. The history and prophecy of the ecclesiastical and political landscape of the apocalyptic earth, it's over. And now, there's a summation. And you know, when you look at the conclusion of a book, it's one of the most important things. If you've read most of a book, how many of you like to lay it down when you've got two chapters left? Because usually the last of the book is, it brings it all together. The climax is there. The resolution, the end, you find out what happens. Well, the end of the book of Revelation is a message and a reminder to every sinner, to every backslider, to every child of God. The message is, behold, and this is from the Lamb of God. This was not from an angel. This is in, you'll notice it's in red in your Bible. The message from Christ was, behold, I come quickly. And the message was that these sayings, in verse 6, it said, the angel was saying, these sayings are faithful and true. What sayings? The things that we've been studying. The things that we've been reading. The prophecies that we've been studying and trying to understand their interpretation, these sayings are true and faithful. Folks, when God says something, it's going to come to pass. All of the prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed to the birth of Christ, they came to pass. All of the prophecies that told about the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, it came to pass just like it was prophesied. Now, we have read about some other things being prophesied about in the book of Revelation. We have read about the apostasy of the church. We have read about the persecution of the church. We have read about the rise of Catholicism and the rise of Protestantism. We've read about all of the dangers and persecutions that the saints of God went through. But we also read about victory. We also read about God being there for His people. We also read about, in the face of horrible, adverse circumstances, that there were people that were willing to stand up to the political and spiritual conditions around them and stay faithful and true to God. Child of God, this morning, I know that we look on our world and it's discouraging. I know that there are so many things happening around about us But if we will stay faithful, there's going to be some triumphs coming down the road. If we will be faithful, we don't need to fear the coming of Christ. These sayings are faithful and true. In most of the things that were prophesied in Revelation, they have come to pass. It's already happened. So there are a few things that we're waiting on. The judgment. The coming back of Jesus Christ, the judgment, and the reward and punishment. We're still waiting on that. But Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. These sayings are true. Young people, I want to impress on your mind this morning that what the Bible teaches is true and it is right. And it does not matter what the philosophies of the world are saying. I know the philosophies from marriage to raising your children to how you are to live are very contrary to what the Bible teaches. But what the Bible teaches is true, and it's right, and we would be well served to value the truth that we have hold of. There may be some things that we don't understand. I said may. Let me change that. There are some things we don't understand. But the things that you know the Bible does teach, I want to encourage you to hold on to them this morning. You young people, too many young people are trading in truth for a bowl of beans, and when it's over, you're left with nothing. Too many people are compromising truth, they're watering truth down, they're rationalizing themselves out of it. But folks, the Word of God is fixed. It is unchanging. God's expectations from us are the same as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus taught us to live a holy life. Those things have not changed. And it doesn't matter who goes away. It doesn't matter what ministers fail. It doesn't matter what family members of ours decide to go a different way. The Word of God is fixed and it's settled forever. And it's up to us this morning whether we're going to value it and hold to it and live it. But these sayings are faithful and they are true. A year ago, in August, I met a brother. His name was Brother Jacktone. And he was in Kenya. He was a brother we just visited in Busia on the Uganda border. And when he heard the teaching there in Kenya, he said, this is the truth that our people need to hear. And that was refreshing to hear that. This is because a lot of people don't want to hear the truth, and a lot of people are rejecting the truth, and to hear someone say, this is right. This is different than what we've been hearing. This is what we need. You know, I've been thinking about that. This is the truth that we need. This is not your truth. This is not my truth. This is the truth of God's Word. This is what Jesus taught us. These are the things that God said. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And Lord, help us this morning to value the truth. How much are we valuing what we know this morning? Well, that's just the way they used to do it. In Sunday school this morning, I used a word, and the young people, I saw a few smiles. And that's the advantage or disadvantage of my children being in Sunday school. They'll just express what everybody's thinking. And they said that the term I used, I think it was a little archaic. In other words, I said, okay, well, I can change the term then. The truth was the same, and all the young people knew it. But do you realize that when we begin to talk about truth, we begin to talk about what the Word of God says, folks, it doesn't get old. I know maybe some of our terminology may sound a little old-fashioned, but the essence of the truth has not changed. It's fixed and it's settled. Lord, help us to value it this morning. And again, you young people, I know I'm not picking on you, but I want to reiterate to you again to value this truth. It is more than the way that mom and dad have taught you. It is more than, well, there's just a few of us. We come to church and look how few there are, and we need to modernize a little bit and do something a little more. Folks, we're not talking about numbers this morning either. But Lord, help us to value that which God gave that is fixed and it's settled, but more than that, it works in your life when you do it like He said to do it. When you live this way, like it teaches, you're going to find the peace of God. Now you may say, well, I tried and I just didn't have victory. You didn't do it like He said to do it. Because when you do it like He said to do it, there is deliverance from sin. There is a place of grace when naturally speaking in the flesh, you would do something a whole lot different. There is a reality to the grace of God that will work in your life and change your natural dispositions. And how do I know that? All I can speak is personally because I found it works when I do it like He told me to. Now, if there gets a little bit of self in the way, it's like, why didn't God's grace work? Ah, Michael got in the way of God's grace. So, Lord, help Michael to die a little bit more or a whole lot more. When we do it like He said to do it, this works, saints. These sayings are faithful and they are true. And He said here, the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. In other words, the things that the book of Revelation prophesied about from the time that John wrote them, they began to be fulfilled. The persecution from the pagans, the apostasy. And so that's why later when we read her, He said, seal not the book. In other words, we're not taking this prophecy and putting it on the back shelf, because from the time that John got the revelation, it was beginning to be fulfilled. But there are only a few things that are left to be fulfilled, folks. That tells us something. Because in verse 7, when Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and He said, blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I come quickly. What does it mean, quickly? Children, young people, when your parents say, come on, come quickly, does that mean just dilly-dally around? Go get a drink of water and read the last page of your book? What does it mean? Quickly means without delay. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. Folks, we are reading this 2,000 years later, not quite 2,000 years later. And Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. That tells me that we are in the last of the last days. And Peter talked about it over in 2 Peter chapter 3. People say, where's the promise of His coming? Where's the promise of His coming? Y'all have been talking about this for 2,000 years. Where's Jesus coming? But the scripture said that one day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day unto the Lord. God doesn't measure time like we do. But folks, do you know there's still a lesson to be learned when we look at the pattern of God's judgments? And I know we've shared a little bit of this, but from Adam to when God said it's enough and sent the flood to destroy most of mankind, it was 1,656 years. 1,656 years. Alright? From the time of sin in the garden to the time that God said it's enough, it was over 1,600 years. 845 years after that, God gave the law to Moses. From Moses to Christ, now this was the law dispensation, it was about 1,500 years. Alright? Now we're thinking about how God's has dealt with mankind through the ages. From Adam to the flood, over 1,600 years. 800 plus years till the law was given. From the law to Christ was only 1,500 years. Now, from Christ to where we are today, what are we looking at time-wise? Little less than 2,000 years, right? I'm not putting a day or a year that Christ is coming back. But folks, the Lord is coming back quickly. You look at the time schedule of how God's mercy and how long He was merciful on mankind. We are in the last of the last days. And it would behoove us to start acting like it if we're not. Because the Lord is going to come back, and He is coming back very quickly. And He said, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Folks, to keep it means to hold on to it. The scripture in Hebrews chapter 2 says in verse 1, He said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now listen, he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? We have heard. I believe we have understood. And now he's saying, how are we going to escape if we neglect what we've heard? Folks, the Lord is not going to twist any of our arms to keep the commandments of this prophecy. The Lord is not going to force any of us. And I know we talked about connection. The Sunday I left, 3 weeks ago, we talked about being connected with God. There is no other more important need in this generation than for us to be connected with God. You get connected with God, all of the doctrines and all of the outward struggles that people have, it's going to start being taken care of when you get plugged in with God. But He's not going to force us. And I ask Ethan for permission on this one. But a few years ago, he'll probably say a number of years ago, but he was old enough to care, trust me. We were at White Sands Missile Range. And he didn't obey me. And I said, Ethan, come here, hold my hand. And he was past that stage of holding Dad's hand. And he's not going to forget White Sands Missile Range because he was holding my hand, but there wasn't a whole lot of connection going on, I can tell you that. It wasn't, oh, Daddy, let me hold your hand. It was this, you know, looking around, who's looking, and you see this boy about like this walking around holding his dad's hand. The Lord is not going to force us to be connected with Him. The Lord's not going to say, come here, you have to hold my hand. Folks, that's a choice. It's a decision that we make. But blessed is he. Happy is the man this morning that chooses of his own volition to say, Lord, I know this is right, and I'm going to keep your commandments. I'm going to follow you. In spite of what everybody else is doing, folks, I want to stay connected with God. And whether I'm accused of being old-fashioned or whether people say you don't have to do it that way anymore, or if I'm the only one that shows up at service, or I'm the only one by myself, and folks, we're not by ourselves. Let me add that caveat. We're not by ourselves yet. I still want to live this way because it's right. It's true, in spite of anybody else. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of this prophecy. Let's skip down to verse 10. He said, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, and this ought to just send the shivers of the Holy Spirit through each and every one of us, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, what he was saying was when he said, seal not the book. In other words, we're not putting it up on the shelf. These prophecies are going to start coming to pass. And it extended, this prophecy extended to what was going to happen in eternity. The last couple of chapters, 20, 21, talked about eternity. And he said, don't seal it, don't shut it up, but we're on the last days, the time is at hand, the fulfillment of the prophecy is about to commence, and don't seal it up because, folks, it's important to recognize there is no more proffer of salvation than what has already been given and prophesied in this book. There's no more proffer of salvation. Contrary to what many Christian churches are teaching today, there's not going to be a rapture where some are left behind. When we are raptured from this earth, we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. All of us. There's not going to be a millennial reign that gives an opportunity at some future date for another salvation. Folks, Jesus came, the Holy Spirit came, and today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Behold, I come quickly. And then he pointed forward. This verse 11 was an affirmation of the truth to the condition of the people that were in the future state. It was an eternal sealing, everlasting punishment, and everlasting eternal life. If the unjust are unjust, they're going to be unjust still. If you're filthy, you're going to be filthy still. In other words, while you have time, before the final judgment comes to pass, before I come, take advantage of the time and the opportunity to make your peace with God. Because when the Lord comes back, there's no more time to pray. There's no more time to ask for mercy. There's no more time to make restitutions. And he that is filthy is going to remain filthy throughout all eternity. Do you get that? There's no more solution to cleansing because the Lord has given us exclusion right now. And if I'm not going to take advantage of the blood of Jesus right now, why should I expect at a future date the Lord's going to give me another avenue of salvation? But he said, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy. Folks, that is a blessing to those that are ready to meet God. When we are inherit eternal life, there is no more fear of failure. There is no more fear of temptation. There is no sin up in heaven. When we get to heaven, if we're holy going in, we're going to be holy forever because we're in the presence of God. There's going to be no more struggles. There's going to be no more failures. There's going to be no more spiritually skinned knees because, Lord, down here on this earth, I loved you and I gave my heart to you, but we're still in this flesh. So we still have struggles and we still have temptations. But folks, when you enter into those pearly gates that we talked about, those pearls come through hardship. That's what the gates of heaven are made out. You remember that? The gates are made out of pearls, enormous pearls. The saints are going to enter in through hardship, in some affliction, in persecution, and the world's going to hate you. But for all eternity, we'll be in the presence of God. No more fear of falling away. No more questioning, can I hold on long enough until the Lord comes? He that is holy will remain holy. Thank God for that. In the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. This morning, I don't know where your tree is, but are you ready for your tree to stay right where it's at this morning? Do you know it ought to put a fear on everybody that's not ready to meet God, but this ought to be encouraging to those that love the Lord this morning. This ought to be bring some joy that, Lord, I'm waiting. I am longing for the summons to come to enter into those gates because I'm looking forward to that day and I need not fear. I'm not facing God on the merits of my own righteousness, but I'm going to stand before God on the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not based on what I have done, not based on my goodness, not based on my failures, but because the blood of Jesus has been applied, He's going to give me right to the tree of life, thank God. And then He said in verse 12, behold, I come quickly. I thought we just read that. He was saying, again, I want you to know, after all of your studying, after all of these prophecies, I don't want you to forget that I'm standing at the door. And we look out in our society and it is dark. We're in a spiritual nighttime. But do you know our lamps can still be burning this morning because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life? I don't want my oil to run out, but I want to remember those 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Folks, they were all virgins, but the 5 let the oil drain out of their lamp. Lord, help us to wake up this morning and stay close, connected with God, that when He finally says, I'm here, open the door. There's no more time for anything. But I want to be ready to meet that time. He said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. Folks, we are going to enter into heaven based on the merits of the blood. But I want us to remind us as well this morning that the Scripture teaches us in this book of Revelation that there is a book being kept of our lives. There is a book being kept of how we've been living. There's a book being kept if we've entered into the blood of Jesus, and we shall all give account of ourselves to the Lord. In this life, we can minimize the way we're living. In this life, we can make excuses. In this life, we can blame other people and other things. But I want us to know this morning that when the Lord comes back, we're going to stand by ourselves before God, and we're going to give an account. And as a little child, as children, when I pointed to my brother and he pointed at me, it wasn't good enough for my dad. It wasn't good enough. No, I'm dealing with you. In other words, I'll deal with him later. But we're talking about what you did. Do you know, as grown up, sometimes we can start doing the same thing because they did this and they did that and they... Folks, when the Lord comes back, we're going to give account of our own attitudes. We're going to give an account of how we've conducted ourselves. We're going to give of our priorities, of our affections, regardless of anybody else. Help me, Lord, to be ready. Verse 13, He said, I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. The first and the last. Do you know that this is going to end with Christ? This started with Christ in the beginning. God, Jesus Christ was at the beginning with God and the Spirit at creation. And folks, the end is going to be Christ. And you know, it's important to know where our destination is going to be. You get on a road, it's important to know where you're going to end up. Do you know that every road this morning is going to end before the judgment seat of God? Every road is going to end at the judgment seat of God, and it's going to end with Christ, where every knee, the Scripture said, every knee shall bow and confess that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know that every Jehovah Witness, every Mormon, every Muslim, every Hindu, every Buddhist, every atheist, every agnostic, every Christian is going to bow down on their knees before Jesus Christ and acknowledge that He is the way, the truth, and the life. The question is, did I receive it while I had opportunity? Because there's going to be come a time that everybody on the face of this world is going to acknowledge that He is the Christ. And so Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Folks, where will we end? We're going to conclude there, pick up later. We're going to conclude there for this morning. Jesus is coming quickly. And we are all going to stand before God. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Because we're going to stand before Him and He's coming quickly. So Lord, help us to be faithful and diligent. Hold on to the truth that God has blessed you with. If there are things that you don't understand this morning, don't be discouraged. The Lord's not going to judge you based on what you don't understand. The Lord's going to judge you based on what you do understand. And if you are living to the best that you know how to keep the words of this book, you can look with expectation to the coming back of the Lord Jesus.